KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello, I'm Emma Ott. Thank you for tuning into Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
I'm Jared Hickman. Today on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we hear from Terry Randolph on the effects of cyberbullying on social media.
But first, we begin with a story about college graduation. Graduation is right around the corner for Fresno State. I spoke with students around campus to see how they're feeling. It's that time of the year when graduates are asking themselves, now what? Whether you know the answer to that question or not, just do me a favor and give yourself a big pat on the back.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little surreal, to be honest. I knew I would always get here, but I didn't think this day would come. And it's finally here, and I feel really proud of myself. I've been on this journey, and yeah, I've done a lot of reflecting, and I'm just really happy about it, to be honest.
That was Oscar Vasquez, a first-generation graduate at Fresno State.
I think it means a lot to my family because since I was little, there was never like a backup plan. It was always like, no, you're going to go to college. And hearing that my whole life, it kind of put a lot of pressure on me and to just always do good in school. To actually get to this point and hear my mom's reaction and my dad's reaction to finally getting to come out here and see me walk that stage, like, it really feels amazing. I'm really proud of like myself, and I'm really happy that my family gets to experience this with me.
Oscar is a liberal studies major, but his studying won't end here.
I don't want to be a teacher. I'm actually looking to continue my education and apply for the master's program to work in higher educational counseling after fall semester.
Next, I talked to business entrepreneurship major McKenna Sherman, who tells me why she chose her major and what she plans to do with it.
I chose that because I went into college knowing that I one day want to open up a sandwich shop, but I didn't really know anything about opening or running a business, and I heard about the entrepreneurship option at Fresno State. Basically, you graduate with your business plan ready to go, so I thought that would be best for me.
Within the next 5 years, McKenna sees herself opening up a sandwich shop in Southern California. She also told me how important this accomplishment is to her and her family.
It means a lot to me and to my parents because I'm the youngest out of three kids, but I'm the first one to be going to college and graduating with a college degree. So I think it's like exciting for my parents to see one of their kids do that. Mm-hmm. And it's also just really exciting for me because I wanted to come to college for the experience, not so much the degree.
Even though we all can't wait to get out of here, there's still a lot to miss about being on campus. Here's what some students had to say.
I'm definitely going to miss the camaraderie and seeing all my friends and just having always something to do on campus.
Probably my entrepreneurship professor, Dr. Bahardi, because she's so excited and she just wants her students to thrive like so much, and she goes above and beyond for you.
I think I'm just gonna miss like the culture of Fresno State and being a student and being on campus and seeing my friends and professors and just kind of that aid of like when you need advice, you always have someone that you can turn to there.
I will also be graduating this semester and will pretty much miss everything about this school. Who knows, you might still see me sneak into the library from time to time. Go Dogs! Graduation isn't linear for everyone, but it is a huge accomplishment. So congratulations to Fresno State's class of 2023. You did it. So Jared, are you graduating this year?
I am indeed.
You are, and I'm assuming MCJ, right?
Yeah, MCJ.
All right.
An option in broadcast journalism.
I guess I'll see you there then. Do you know what time we're supposed to be there?
Yep, we got to be there at, I believe, noon, if I remember.
12:15, Jared, 12:15.
Close enough. I'll be there earlier. In the heart of Fresno, local businesses have found unique ways to connect with their community and the nearby Fresno State. Through sponsoring events in town and offering student work opportunities, these entities have elevated themselves as more than mere business ventures, but true members of the thriving community that is sustained by Central Valley residents and guests alike. Walter Scott explores ways in which these businesses have built lasting connections with Fresno and the university.
Behind every small business, there's a story worth knowing. The city of Fresno serves as a hotspot for many local businesses to serve and connect to its community. Having access to students, residents, and visitors provides businesses with incredible opportunities for people to cross paths and share experiences.
Not only is just like convenient location-wise, it's more like also use as like a social hangout in general. Like, for example, when students come back from like long days of schedule, they just stop by here and they can just go ahead and just do their, you know, homework or their test assignments, just anything regardless. So it's just used as like a social hub in general.
The Boba Pub is always making freshly brewed tea and serves as a popular study spot for students at Fresno State. Abigail Contreras prepares delicious drinks for her guests and understands the impact these teas can have on bringing her closer to her community.
Just recently, we were at Asian Fest in Fresno City. So we were just there, just socializing, also trying to connect to other like local Fresno residents, also, you know, giving out boba. So it's just like a way to also reach out to the community and like have that whole like connection and just communication. It doesn't have to be like, oh, do you want to buy something, you know? It's just like, oh yeah, like, hey, you know, it's nice to see you again. What's going on? Yeah, do you want some boba? Like, you know, we have that like reach out engagement with just in general, like Fresno residents.
Choosing a go-to spot for food is a challenge in and of itself. But creating a connection to an establishment takes things to a whole nother level. A level the owners of China Station are intimidated to be a part of.
I was a usual customer and they offered me a job to work here. And I took it immediately because, you know, they're such happy people. Her name's Smile. And she really connects with the people. She memorizes everyone's name, you know, right from the get-go.
Joshua Cano has experienced the genuine care that China Station serves along with its tasty food. And it's through the restaurant's connection that drew Joshua's interest and eventual employment.
What got me coming back was really the conversations I was having with Smile, the owner, because I didn't really know anyone in the beginning and I didn't talk to much people, but, you know, stopping by and talking and having a real, like, genuine conversation is probably what brought me back.
Similar to Boba Pub, China Station serves as a popular destination for the community to gather and enjoy each other's company.
Every Thursday, a lot of cars meet here, and it's a lot of college students. And I would say that's about a majority of our customers are college students. And a lot of kids actually stop here just to eat something. Sometimes they just order appetizers. And, you know, they kind of spread out throughout the community saying, oh, yeah, you know, I had a really nice time, tonight at this place, and I definitely go back. So it's a lot of word to mouth among college students about how this restaurant reaches out to people, and you know, how we treat people and how we serve people. Especially our food is, you know, a big way of word to mouth, you know, about finding out about this place.
Instead of dreading the crowd or the potential long lines, Joshua appreciates the significance of community engagement and what it means for everyone involved.
I'd say here in the Central Valley, it's definitely not easy to set up a local shop and to keep it going. And I would say it's really good for the community because you don't want a whole lot of corporate restaurants because it doesn't really build that sense of community. And, the, you know, the people, especially the minority groups that are within that community, and for them to be able to, you know, have their own restaurant, their own place, have their own customers, it's really nice at kind of uniting the community together.
To these businesses, the opportunity to be a part of Fresno's community means more than clientele. The opportunity was a means to generational prosperity, a chance for a better future for an entire family.
Tacos Marquitos was established in 2000, and it's already 20 years on. April 25th, and it was the opportunity to have our own business, and all my family was working on the same field, food industry, and the opportunity to open the business, like I said, came up, and I invite all my family, my nieces, my brother, my sisters, and we start working on it, and it's how we started.
Javier Rangel and his family have established themselves as one of Fresno's premier dining destinations and are grateful to the community that has supported them throughout their journey, going as far as naming menu items after their best supporters.
Being so close to the Fresno State, it meant a lot for us, and our clientele is big from Fresno State. And the Bulldog Burrito, of course, is from the Bulldogs of Fresno State. And we also have the Alpha Fries. It's one of the sororities that came out with the recipe. It's some other places they call it a carne asada fries. But we call it Alpha Fries because these ladies used to do fundraisers here, and they came up with the recipe. We have the Gamma Burrito from the Gammas from Fresno State. So that is how we get involved with the community, especially with educational system and educational community.
Tacos Marquitos was founded on the principles of quality food and an engaged community. These principles will continue to serve any and everyone who visits the establishment. For these ideals and morals are everything Javier and his family stood for from the moment doors opened 20 years ago.
Without our community, the businesses don't exist, right? So for me, it's very important because we belong to the community. And whenever when we started, we didn't have nothing. So, well, whatever we have and whatever we succeed in our personal lives is because our community support. And we receive all the support from the community, so we have to give back to them because there is other generations coming behind us, and we have to help them and show them how to do it and what they need to do. I mean, we have to teach them that they need to give back to the community because at a certain point, they needed help from the community. So I believe it's the way that it should be.
These businesses are here for you and me. Never hesitate to stop by, grab a drink, grab some food, and spend time with the people that make the community of Fresno so special. I'm Walter Scott for Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
The Boba Pub, China Station, and Tacos Marquitos are located on Barstow and Cedar Avenue and are excited to welcome new community members and guests to their businesses.
Gamers, when you think of the word, what kinds of people come to mind? Ronan Vanthi goes around campus to explore the topics with students and esports players to distinguish the myths from the reality.
When you think of the word gamers, it doesn't have the nicest connotation to it. In fact, what is that gamer word?
Video games nowadays have some of the more diverse cast of characters in the media. Last of Us, God of War.
I am hungry.
Apex.
Mozambique, yeah.
Overwatch. Valorant. League of Legends. The list can go on. Many of these titles are iconic in their own right and have won awards being remembered by gamers throughout time.
Thank everybody and say that I think I want to nominate.
Who was that guy?
Diversity is just not within the games themselves, but in the partaking real-life community as well.
What kind of video games do you play?
I play a lot of story-based games, so Persona, Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, I play a lot of those.
I have been invested in games like Persona 5 and Hades and, yeah, anything else like that.
I usually watch my friends play Valorant or Overwatch, sometimes Apex, but more so Valorant.
Oh, yeah, interview me. So, because there's a gay man and a female here, you want to interview us?
Yes.
Female gamers teeters on about half of the population among white gamers, while among Asian gamers, they make up the entire half.
I usually like female characters that are like powerful, like Kasumi from Dead or Alive.
Oh, I fucking
yeah. Yeah, I just really like strong female characters.
That's not to say the issue is resolved by representation alone, and even then, the study says there's still some ways to go.
How's it going?
Oh, shut the f-
Imagine you walk in a room, say one word, and all of a sudden you're being crucified and stoned just for simply being present. Welcome to the gaming community, or what it is known for by gamers and non-gamers alike.
I think gamers are toxic.
I do too. 100% agree.
I think a high value of gamers are toxic.
They've always been, bro. Always. When I grew up playing Call of Duty, it was just like slurs after slur. Yeah.
Definitely a lot of racial slurs.
Not all of them are. It really depends on the how the game is or what game you play.
A lot of the like Call of Duty or what are those combat games. I especially like, I've seen a lot of videos on like TikTok and stuff, and they're very toxic towards women.
With the media portraying gamers as your typically socially inept outcasts, possibly angry at the world and most likely a man, you can't help but wonder what made it this way.
You betrayed us for money? Who are you?
I'm a rogue night elf. Don't you people read character descriptions?
From the people that just have a major ego, that just think they're the best, you got the people that kind of have an old way of life, where like they just got to talk to show like how they're much they are of a dominant person, or just basically like the sexist people where like they hear a girl in chat and they just think either, oh, I gotta flirt with them, or like if the flirting doesn't work out, then they start to degrade, which I am not a fan of at all, just because guys, they don't know better. They try to act tough, but in reality, they just look like complete, can't say the word, but you get the idea.
You have people in there saying like, oh, you're a monkey, like George Floyd, like they're using all this racist language, and it's like, yeah, I don't like this community very much.
We can easily place the blame on video games appealing to the male fantasy to create such toxic environments. Things like jumping on Goombas, being relentlessly chased by a 10-foot tall zombie, playing soccer but with cars, and most of all, farming. Lots and lots of farming. But none of these games features the ability to vocally communicate with one another through the vastness of the internet and some service level anonymity, which is where the real fun begins for some and absolute hell for others.
I just like wish that when I, cause like most of the time I play with like my boyfriend or like friends, when people are making like weird comments at me or like being weird, I wish more people would like not be bystanders and like stand up and like defend me or just like say something.
There are a lot of video game characters that will look just like you. You just have to know where to look. But don't expect any friendly banter from those who play the games.
Cyberbullying happens on digital devices such as cell phones or tablets. The most common places that cyberbullying occurs are on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. Cyberbullying can happen in chat rooms, instant messaging, and online forums such as Reddit. Terry Randolph reports.
The American Psychological Association says cyberbullying can cause stress and suicide ideation.
Starting in, I would say, 2018, they would tweet out to kill myself. They would make fun of me for not killing myself yet. I was, in fact, very suicidal because it was constant.
The voice that you just heard is a woman who wants to remain anonymous due to security reasons.
If they weren't tweeting at me, they were repeatedly emailing me. There were points where I was on the floor of my bathroom trying to make plans for if it did happen.
A review in Opinion Psychology titled Cyberbullying via Social Media and Well-Being says that cyberbullying can cause anxiety, depression, physical symptoms, and reduced life satisfaction.
I was vomiting. I was like I'd be walking and I'd almost feel like I wanted to pass out. And it brought on depression full swing.
That was Pavana Davis.
She basically has some pretty serious PTSD because of it.
She and her husband, Jesse Davis, have been bullied on the internet for 6 years.
All I can say is, you know, be aware of what your loved ones and your children might be doing online, because it can have very heavy,
serious
effects. I mean, I thought I was going to lose my wife because they had literally pushed her to the brink of a massive nervous breakdown. And even after it was publicly known that she had this breakdown, they continued to try to trigger her and cause more harm to her. And as a matter of fact, it's still going on to this day.
The woman that you're about to hear is a cyberbully on YouTube.
I don't like the way I think sometimes. She probably doesn't have family. She probably doesn't have anyone but her cat. So she has a lot to lose. She doesn't even own a home. This is why she's doing this. She doesn't have nothing to lose. Jesus Christ, she doesn't even have hair. I mean, come on now.
The insults that you just heard are directed towards me. I, too, am a victim of cyberbullying. I'm currently in therapy for the PTSD. And for the record, I have hair. And it's fabulous. I'm Terry Randolph with Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
For more information on cyberbullying tactics and prevention, go to stopbullying.gov.
Parts of that story were kind of hard to hear because who would ever be mean to Terry?
I mean, they wouldn't be mean to anyone on social media. I think it's just kind of a low point to even go on there and just ruin other people's experiences on social media apps. I go on apps like Instagram to have fun and see cool content that people create, not to see negative actions and attitude towards others.
I agree with you. No one wants to go on social media, especially their own account, and see bad things about themselves. Not the vibe. The Fresno State Student Recreation Center is a place where students and staff go to stay active and healthy and relieve stress right here on campus. One way students stay active is by planning intramural sports. Intramurals are organized sports and games to offer students friendly competition. Robert Rivera looked into the running of these competitive games and explored why students love competing for t-shirts.
One of the most popular sports amongst the intramural community is intramural softball. Played on the kinesiology field here on campus, players and intramural staff gather for 45 minutes of competition to see who will win the t-shirt. I spoke to Fresno State student and intramural referee, Weir Pat Smith, and heard what his favorite part about refereeing games were.
Probably all the people you get to meet, all the cool people. And the experience you get, like, you know, the baseball. My favorite sport is basketball. I didn't get to ref that. I wish I was reffing basketball.
Getting to run it now and seeing some of these other people that didn't have the opportunity to go on and play collegiate sports, but they're still coming out and being active and meeting new people and continuing just to experiment with the sports that we offer and them having fun with it, it makes my job a lot easier.
That you just heard was Matt Olson. He is the intramural program coordinator and played intramural sports his entire time here at Fresno State. Now graduated and being able to organize and run the program, he gives us a scoop into what intramurals is all about.
As of right now, I would say our most popular sports are always going to be basketball, softball, and flag football. I'm hoping that's going to come up here in the fall. Yeah, I mean, every sport's a little bit different. We try to offer as much as we can so that people can come out and just not have to worry about equipment or finances and stuff like that. For example, softball, we offer some gloves that we can check out. We offer basketballs, we offer jerseys and everything that you might need, aside from like cleats and shoes and stuff that you'll probably need to work out anyway.
To find out more about the program and how you can win a shirt, contact the Student Recreation Center, open 7 days a week. I'm Robert Rivera with Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
You can check out the lineup of sports and events on the IM Leagues app on iOS and Android. Intramural flag football is expected to start next semester, and the intramural staff hopes to see students there.
No matter the sport, athletes are recognized for their physical talent and abilities. Raul Ramirez spoke with David Ramon, pro soccer player for the local Fuego FC, who isn't to be defined by a title.
David Ramon has been playing soccer since he was a toddler, and that journey to become a professional footballer has taken him to places he never thought he'd be and taught him things one only learns with experience.
So I've been playing, ever since I can walk, since like four. Supposedly the story goes that like I was a baller, like from the first day I stepped on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Like I was like five or six. I would always practice with little cones. But my brother, he's older, like 2 years older than me. And he was playing on the team and they needed an extra player. And then I like raised my hand to try to go in or something. Supposedly, and then I went in and scored like five goals, and then my dad's like, yo, this kid's a stud.
David began intense training at a very young age, and that work ethic he had then has carried on with him throughout his career and life. His older brother, Sergio Ramon Jr., who was referred to earlier, has witnessed the growth of his younger sibling both on and off the field.
He's a hardest working guy I know. He's been traveling since the age of eight, living by himself, chasing his dreams. And, you know, there's nothing better than that, in my opinion. Doing what you love every day and, you know, just striving to be as successful as you possibly can. So it's all about the journey for David. And
David has played for teams in countries like Mexico, Andorra, Croatia, Italy, and Spain throughout his career. This may sound like a dream, but there were serious obstacles he faced the entire time. During his time at the biggest club in Croatia, Dinamo Zagreb, the director of the team called David into his office and delivered some unexpected news.
And then all the players from the team were like, he called you to the office? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, they for sure want to sign you. Like, dude. And then he calls me and he's like, hey, David, I just wanted to talk to you right now. He's like, I just want to let you know, like, thank you for coming, but, like, you'll never be a pro, like straight up.
Despite these harsh words, David didn't quit and kept playing for teams in Mexico until finally landing in Fresno with the Fuego with hopes of having a Major League Soccer caliber season. Even though soccer may seem like the only thing on his mind, David prides himself on his education and having skills in multiple fields.
More than anything, I would say his work ethic is zero to none, you know, so he's always working and always, you know, striving to be better. That's what he does a lot of studying as well. He's really smart. He does a lot of reading, a lot of journaling. So that's something that's really helped him a lot.
I love reading. I like learning and like trying to like take information and put it out there.
When he's not on the field, David also works in sales in order to keep his mind and people skills sharp, as well as with the hopes of owning his own business, like his older brother Sergio with Grips on the Go.
Grips on the Go is a mobile golf club repair service. We go out to different courses, houses, and we repair clubs on site in a matter of a few minutes.
When I asked Sergio about his brother's possible future endeavors, he had no doubt.
100%. Yeah, he's a very smart kid. He'll be successful in any endeavor he takes, and I 100% believe that.
Football is not forever, and David knows that.
Like, I feel like I always use my body for work. I want to use my brain for work, you know? I want to be able to use my brain and, like, put puzzles together, put people together to create, like, the company I want, eventually.
David Ramon is a part of a growing trend of athletes earning income through avenues outside of their sport. This goes to show just how dynamic athletes have become off the field, as well as on. You can catch Fuego FC games at the Fresno State Women's Soccer Stadium for the remainder of the season. And that wraps up our show for the semester.
Today's episode of Fresno State Focus Radio Edition was produced by Professor Faith Sidlow for the Department of Media, Communications, and Journalism. Our stories and interviews were produced and edited by Walter Scott, Ronan Vanthi, Terry Randolph, Robert Rivera, Raul Ramirez, and me, Emma Ott.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Jared Hickman. Have a great morning.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.